Services in conjunction with whoone.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. I'm Adam, and today we haven't got Alicia with us because she got banned from this podcast for her blatantly bad prediction that Michael Gambon's character in the Christmas special was going to be called Ebenezer Scrooge, and she bet her career in podcasting on it, which ended up being the next episode being this one. So instead of Alicia, over the old-fangled phone thingamajig, we've got Ben.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Ben, and thank you for joining me on the show, because I can't really do this on my own.
That's all right. I was going to say, though, you know, being the 32nd one, and my first appearance, you know, I'm wondering where I've been for the last 31.
And have you listened to any of the preceding episodes?
Every single one of them at least four times. A lot of the time I actually download it to my generic iPod player type thing. And I normally put them on just sometime, normally in the evening. And I tell you what, they're cracking way to get to sleep. Just brilliant.
Thank you, son. Thank you.
Not normally get four or 5 minutes in, and then, you know... Of course I jest. It's more 7 minutes.
7 minutes? That's pretty good going, really, especially when Alicia's on there.
Well, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Well, she only stays awake for about five during the actual recording of the podcast.
I wondered what the snoring was. I could always hear in the background.
It's her, yes.
Yeah.
It's me talking very interesting stuff and her going... And me going, are you awake? Yeah, I'm awake.
The slight concern I have, however, is if she's been banned for her bad predictions about Gambon... And I don't quite know how long I'm going to last. I mean, I might not even make it to the end of the podcast.
No, it's because... Well, she actually has been in the past quite good with her predictions on the show, and it was... She's just had a spate of episodes in which she's been winding me up quite badly and, like I say, falling asleep.
Well, stuff, you know, like. If you want predictions, you know, I can kick you off with one prediction now.
Kick me off my own show, Esther. Sorry, I can't.
My prediction for the next series of Doctor Who is that the TARDIS will actually end up being pink.
It's already been pink, isn't it? Wasn't it pink in the Happiness Patrol?
It was, actually, yes. Mm. Very good, very good, Mr. Pearson. You saw my my flaw in my own plan there. That's very good, yes.
And the flaw in myself, I actually have actually watched the Happiness Patrol. No offence to the Happiness Patrol podcast, which is an incredibly good show, but probably named in an ironic fashion.
Well, do you reckon they kind of like will give your podcast a name check as well if you mention theirs?
They did mention this show once when I because TARDIS Tara had a tattoo done, and I sent in a photograph of my Rassilon tattoo, and they mentioned it on the show. That's about the only mention we've got.
Hold on a minute. You're sending people photos of your tattoos? I've heard about people like you.
No, they asked right. people they to send in. Yeah. Not me personally. They said, send in your Doctor Who tattoos. And so I did.
Oh, right.
That's how I ended up getting a mention on their show. The best way of getting a mention on their show is actually sending feedback. But I'm so busy doing podcasts, I really haven't got time to send in feedback to other shows often, although I do enjoy doing it. And we're coming up to Christmas. We've got a great big list of Christmas messages to send out. So it's going to take blooming ages, but there you go. It is Christmas.
Right. Fair enough.
Indeedy. So, not quite sure whether you're telling the truth as to whether you listen to the show or not, but...
I've listened to a couple of them, yeah.
Oh, you have listened to a couple? Oh, you
of
fool.
I've listened to a couple of them, Mr.
You
Pearson.
You fool! And you came out the other end unscathed.
Well, as I said, I was lacking in sleep one night and put them on.
Git. fair enough. I mean, I have listened to our show and fallen asleep on editing, of course, when I've had to edit.
Of course.
And I've been very, very tired and doing it too late when I've got to get up too early in the morning. But I'm sort of digressing somewhat.
Just a bit.
Right. Obviously, Alicia, as you may or may not know, is known in the world of podcasting or Doctor Who podcasting as the great podcast saboteur, because some... she inadvertently attempts to sabotage the podcast by basically not contributing in the way you're supposed to in a discussion about Doctor Who. So she, like, goes on MSN, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. So I was wondering whether you could possibly be the great podcast saviour.
Hold on a sec. I'm just on Facebook at the moment. I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah, Of course, Adam, I will be the podcast saviour. Look what someone's just typed about me. I'm joking. I haven't even got Facebook open.
Well, I was just thinking, because Chris Moyles claims he is the saviour of Radio 1.
Sorry, what was that? Yeah, Radio 1. I'm with you now, joke over. That was a funny joke, wasn't it? Yeah, no, of course, I'm here to be the saviour of the podcast. Obviously, well, I say saviour, more contributor, maybe.
Yes. Now, oh my God, my computer is playing up. Not really unusual, that. It's actually opened up three windows of something I don't really want, so I'm just going to close the two offending ones down, so I know where I am. Oh, that's the one I want.
Don't close that one, then.
Hmm. How weird. Right, so, yes. Doctor Who fan.
Yes, massive, big, huge.
I'm not afraid to admit it.
Well, not at all. Why would you be? Why would you be afraid to admit it? I even had a Doctor Who T-shirt, which I wore regularly with pride and joy until one day I put paint on it accidentally.
Now that sounds reminiscent of "Moths Ate My Doctor Who Scarf" by Toby Haydock, in which he had a Doctor Who scarf which got eaten by moths.
Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned scarves because just a week ago, Adam, I decided I needed a new scarf, and so I headed off down to the local supermarket to find myself the best Doctor Who-looking scarf I could find.
Did you find one?
No.
It's funny you say that.
I tried. That
there
was
a woman in the car park at the moment, as I'm recording this show, in the co-op car park, with a great big long scarf that could be considered a Doctor Who scarf, even though it's got yellow, green, grey, pink, cream... alternate stripes all the way along it.
I just wonder how people would view a good old Tom Baker Doctor Who scarf in this day and age. Would they pour scorn on you if they saw it?
It would certainly attract attention. TARDIS Tara of the Happiness Patrol podcast, in fact, knits Doctor Who scarves for fans. You have to pay her for it, obviously, but not her personally. She puts some money towards charities and stuff like that, but she does spend the time knitting them, and you can actually have a scarf from whatever season of the Tom Baker era you want, including season 18.
Yeah, see, I'd go for his final season. Yeah. The purpley one, wasn't it?
That's the one I prefer, yes.
Yeah, I think if I was going to... actually, I wonder if she'd make the whole costume if you paid her enough.
I wonder if that's actually been put to her.
But I mean, the only problem with that would be, obviously, if she's knitting scarves out of wool, whether she'd have to then make the whole of the costume out of wool. And that might get a little bit itchy.
I reckon it probably would.
You know, not sure if that would be the best look either, a full woolen outfit.
It's certainly something maybe she could expand with if she knew some friends that might be tailors, that might be Doctor Who fans, that could indeed make this particular... Because there's a lot of, in America, the conventions, there's a lot of this cos... You know, they go around wearing the costumes of the characters and stuff like that, and apparently that's a big thing in America.
Some people would view that as very sad, though.
Not if you're American.
Well, no, of course. And the other thing I must just point out at this juncture in the podcast is that earlier on you were saying that Alicia was always trying to sabotage your podcast by not talking much about Doctor Who, and so far we must have been going on about half an hour about scarves and woolen Doctor Who costumes, part of which obviously is my fault. I will admit that.
But it is in fact actually closer to talking about Doctor Who than Alicia normally gets to talking about it.
Good Lord. Well, yeah. Whether she's been talking about the Teletubbies as well, then in ones I haven't heard of.
What, you mean the Dalek Teletubbies? Or
yes, that's them. Yes, those darn Dalek Teletubbies.
Yes, talking of TARDIS Tara, she's apparently on one of the DVD extras. I don't know which one, but I heard somewhere. So if anybody knows, and of our lovely listeners knows, which DVD that TARDIS Tara is on, tell me, and I want to see if I can see her on it. So that's just a little appeal I have to... and before I forget, there was a cock-up for the last few weeks in the new email address.
No!
Yes, it's unusual to cock something up.
Not a mistake.
I was wondering why we weren't getting any emails, and the reason was I had it wrong. The new email address, please take note, just get your pens ready, it's 20mb.gmail. No, it's not. Can I start that again? 20...
What's the email address, Adam?
20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
That's what I had it written down as.
Cool. I had it the other way around the previous way. It was like feedback dot to whatever, blah, blah, blah. And
but email, email. We want emails.
Yes, we want emails. I have got an email somewhere along here. Here we are.
Here we are. Please stop talking about scarves and talk about Doctor Who more.
No, I think people enjoy talking about, especially if TARDIS Tara Hans be listening to the show.
We like Doctor Who scarves. There's nothing wrong with them.
Yes, and I haven't got one. And I would like to have one. But here we go. This is the email that we have. It says, "Hi guys, sorry, Alicia. Minor correction. I think that might be due with the spelling of her name. The Unquiet Dead was episode 3, not episode 2. That was the end of the world. Other than that, good episode, guys."
Yes, that's true. It was episode 3, wasn't it? Yes.
Doesn't actually say you wrote that one. It does continue. Harry Potter connections. How about these? Harry Melling, which is Dudley Dursley, is Patrick Troughton's grandson. Alfie Enoch, Dean Thomas, is the son of William Russell, who played Ian Chesterton. You're fascinated by this, aren't you?
I am hanging on the phone with more anticipation than someone who's anticipating something good to happen.
Mm. John Cleese, nearly Headless Nick, appeared in The City of Death.
He did, yep.
Julian Glover, the voice of Aragog, was also in City of Death as Scaroth, and of course in a story from the 60s, which is the Richard Lionheart one, of the title of which escapes me. Zoe Wanamaker, Cassandra,
yes,
was Madame Hooch. David Tennant, Barty Crouch Jr. I don't know what character he played in Doctor Who.
No.
He appeared opposite Roger Lloyd Pack, who played Barty Crouch Sr.
He did.
And they were both in Doctor Who, apparently.
Or someone else was in Doctor Who, and I'm not sure if this is going to massively detract from your email. It was Brian Cant, of course. You've got to be careful how you say that.
Yes.
Back in the 60s, and he picked up some award from BAFTA the other day for his children's work, including his two episodes he did of Doctor Who.
Ah. Oh, well,
that's a
bit
of information. There you go.
Is he still alive, then? That's an awful question to say, but I mean, I haven't heard of him for such a long time. Is he still going?
Brian Cant, I believe. Well, he's still around. I don't know what he does anymore. He probably does student tours or something. That's what they all end up doing, isn't it? But, oh, yes, all of them. The old Floella Benjamin and Brian Cant are currently on tour together.
Yeah.
With the Chuckle Brothers.
Floella Benjamin's been in Sarah Jane, but not in Doctor Who. But anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Look, I've given you more information on Doctor Who in that two-minute segment than Alicia did in the previous 31 episodes.
Yes, you are certainly doing your job very well. Moving on. Bill Nighy was as Dr. Black in Scrimgeour. That character in Harry Potter he played, the Scrimgeour, wasn't it?
this is where I have to hold my hands up and admit that not only have I never, ever read a Harry Potter book or picked up anything to do with Harry Potter, I've never seen any films, and to be honest with you, I'm not 11, so I don't care about it.
Which now means that Professor Dave's Ark in Space podcast has now turned off their iPods.
Apart from I love Harry Potter immensely. It has to be my second favourite thing next to Doctor Who. Harry who? Yeah.
But apparently Bill Nighy here is in the Doctor and Vincent the Doctor. Sorry, I get titles mixed up. He was also Scrimgeour in the current film. It didn't last very long because he got killed off very early. Jessica Hines. Mafalda Hopkirk was one of Joan Redfern or Verity Newman in Doctor Who.
Right. I wasn't aware of that.
And it says in brackets, 10 bonus points if Alicia can get the DW reference for Verity Newman and also John Smith's parents. David Bradley, Argus Finch was Shansheath Blue in Sarah Jane Adventures.
Well, I mean... Unfortunately, I don't have Alicia's knowledge, and therefore I can't have her 10 points on that one either.
We'll have to come back to that one later. Be sure there must be some kind of variant on 6 degrees of bacon we can do here. What's that mean?
6 degrees of separation thing.
I don't know what you mean, sir. Regards, Dave Hingley. Hi, Adam, and soon to be banned. This is the next email. Hi, Adam, soon to be banned from one episode, Sleeping Podcast Assassin. She has several pseudonyms.
Right.
Yes. I'm sure you'll get a few emails on this one for the name of Scrooge character the name of the Scrooge character is Kazran Sardik. This was announced by the vast Toffee MN himself. Have you heard that reference into Moffat at all? The vast Toffee MN?
No.
Now, apparently that's a sort of like an anagram, Valstroffy NM, of Stephen Moffat.
They are clever, aren't they?
I don't see how that works, to be honest with you. Anyway, he's apparently had a press release last week, and the official synopsis has been released by the BBC, which goes out to all newspapers and magazines. And
yeah, there was a lot of stuff online I saw last week about the Christmas special. Over the week, I think it was over the weekend, actually. Lots of new pictures appeared. Of the cast, and you know, Matt Smith looking festive in a sleigh with Catherine Jenkins, and oh, who's the other?
Michael Gambon.
Michael Gambon, that's him. Yes, yes. Catherine Jenkins and Michael Gambon sat on a sleigh with Matt Smith, but no sign of Karen Gillan anywhere. I don't know where she was.
Karen Gillan, you'll get into trouble if you call her Karen Gillan, because Dale Who. Dale Who jumped on one of his co-presenters from the US of A, calling Karen Gillan, Karen Gillan. Yeah. That was TARDIS Star, actually. She gets lots of mention in this show. But well, yes, Karen Gillan. She is in it because I've seen some preview footage. Well, did you see the Children in Need preview?
I did, yeah. Sort of.
She was in that with Arthur Darvill and...
she's definitely in it, so is he. Yeah, it's just that they're not in the publicity shot that's been released. Oh. So I don't know why. Maybe they'll have one coming out of them the next week or so.
Indeed, and we'll find out in not a very long time, 19 days.
Yeah. I mean, it's that time of year in between the end of the series and the Christmas special where you're sitting there thinking, 19 days, 18 days, 17 days. And then
they should bring out a Doctor Who advent calendar, really, because it's all we're interested in.
They should actually. There's probably one around somewhere. I've gone for the branded advent calendar this year. Didn't see a Doctor Who one.
I never got one.
Did you not? I bought one by a friend, luckily. Didn't have to buy one myself.
I wanted Cadbury's one, but I never got one.
Yeah, that's the one I got, but I didn't want to say Cadbury.
That email was from Graham, the Second Doctor Sheridan, who is well known for the Second Doctor's podcast.
Thank you, Graham.
Yes. He also says, P.S., let's see if this email address works.
It clearly did. Yes, obviously. As you have it.
And he also says, check out my podcasts, Doctor Who, the Second Doctor's podcast, and Professor Howe, the Doctor Who podcast parody podcast, available on iTunes and TalkShoe. IDs 57949, the Second Doctor's podcast, and 9601, Professor Howe. Also in Germany, report on Doctor Who Podshock, also available on iTunes.
Well, that's something to listen to.
Apparently, there's a new feature on Twitter tweets via the iPhone.
I haven't heard of that.
Pardon?
I haven't heard about that.
I don't know what that's all about, but I know I've noticed recently my Twitter thing on my iPhone, actually it comes up as a text message alert that I've got a direct message from somebody via Twitter, which is quite useful. That doesn't happen via Facebook, so that's quite handy. Don't get a lot of messages via Twitter. So, and if you want to send me a message, listeners, it's Adam20MegPodcast. Sorry, no, it's not. Adam20Meg... Can I start again?
I'll start that bit again, yes.
Yeah, twitter.com/Adam20MegabytePodcast. That's my Twitter.
Clear as mud.
Yes. So I think I should try and get the news page open on this fangled computer doodah. Trouble is, I haven't even got the internet open on it, which could cause a few problems. So what have you heard on the grapevine in relation to Doctor Who over the last few days?
Well, as I said, there's a stuff about Brian Kemp, which is all quite interesting.
I thought it was very interesting.
I don't know if you've had a look at these, but on the BBC website, the main one for Doctor Who, obviously the adventure games, their computer games.
PC,
which have been being released now for the last about 2 or 3 months, I suppose, isn't it?
Have you had a chance to play any of these?
I downloaded the first one, but my computer at the time wasn't really up to playing it. I have had a new one now. Yeah, I've played them a bit, and they're all right. You know, graphically they're okay. The storylines are good. So
I can't see myself ever getting to play the ones you can download, but simply because, like I say, the computer's not up to it. Is it something that needs a 3D card or anything?
No, you don't need any massively high-tech for it, just, you know, a PC or a laptop that works properly.
Well, then maybe I should have attempted to download it. I just assumed, because I've only got, like, a notebook computer, that it wouldn't be up for actually playing the game.
Oh, you just give it a go. I mean, obviously, depending on the processor...
That's what was concerning me, the processor quality maybe wasn't really up to the job. But I will tell you that Deb has bought me, my lovely wife, has bought me the Wii game for Christmas.
So I'm looking
forward to
already
reviewing that.
Well, that's ruined Christmas for you then.
No, it hasn't ruined at all. It just makes me look forward to it more.
Knowing what you've already got.
Well, I was in the shop with her, and I said, look at this, it's only 24 quid here in Morrison's. That's not an advert for Morrison's, but it's actually the case. So if you want to save 10 quid, listeners, instead of going and buying them in other places like game shops that are selling them for 35 quid, Morrison's had it for £24, or £24.99. So it's a big, big saving.
Just going back a couple of minutes, you said there was no Doctor Who advent calendar. Well...
Yeah.
I can correct you on that one, for there is a Doctor Who advent calendar online.
And where would that be? Well, it's a bit late now, isn't it? We're 6 days into December, but just in case.
Well, yeah, but, you know, 6 days in now, but, you know, there's still another 19 till Christmas, so, you know, any time in the next 19 days. It's to the BBC website again, bbc.co.uk/Doctor Who, and you can find it on the main page there. If you click on the advent calendar. What's the day five? A lovely picture of Karen.
Hang on, you're saying there's no chocolate inside it?
I have tried to pull a piece of chocolate from my laptop, but that is what caused the problem with the last one.
For me, advent calendar's not an advent calendar if it's not got chocolate inside.
Well, I'll tell you what you could do, if you wanted to go down the chocolate advent calendar on the computer route, is you could open your CD drive, put a piece of chocolate in there, then open the door, or open the window on the advent calendar on the computer, and then pop open your disk drive, and a bit of chocolate comes out.
Listeners, do not try this at home, because we don't want to be responsible for any computers being broken up by bits of chocolate on the laser or anything like that.
As long as you don't leave the chocolate there for too long, it won't get too hot and melt, so you should be all right.
Well, if you put your chocolate in there and then... Oi, your dinner's ready. Hang on a sec.
Then there's problems, and the next time you put a CD in there, it comes out rather chocolatey.
Unfortunately, my computers don't have CD drives, so...
Where are you, 1985?
No, it's their notebooks, so you have to attack an external... attach an external drive to actually get it. So sorry, I've got a crumb from my sandwich wedged into my keyboard, and I'm trying to hook it out with a twirl bar wrapper at the moment.
Oh, so chocolate's no good, but you're all right sticking sandwiches around your laptop.
Yeah, well, I didn't expect it to actually work as a plate, but it did actually on this occasion. So, where are we? Sorry.
What were we talking about? We seem to have got slightly off kilter to do with the advent calendars and chocolate.
Yeah, advent calendars, that's what it was, yes. But that's, I mean, is it like a digital advent calendar, that one?
You get a different picture, and at the moment they're giving you lots of pictures of the Christmas special, as you'd probably expect. There's lots of PDFs to download, Christmas cards of Gambon, Jenkins and Smith. And then there's another...
I seem to remember a few years ago, several years ago, five in fact, when Rose was, you know, the big hoo-ha, the relaunch of Doctor Who, and Rose was coming, that you'd managed to acquire a copy of Rose before it went out on air. That shows what sort of a Doctor Who fan you are. Not in a sort of a slightly criminal way, but in a sort of, you know, you obviously have got some sort of obsession that you couldn't wait until broadcast night to see it.
Yeah, no, I do. Now you mention that, I do remember getting that actually, and yeah, let's just say it wasn't. It may not have been as legal as it could have been. Should we move on?
The thing is that is the world of the Doctor Who fan, isn't it? I mean, they'll do anything to get us. Like, I remember, have you ever seen one of the Doctor X? I think it's from Revenge of the Cybermen. It was. The Tom Baker Sideman story, I'm not a very good title sometimes. There's a DVD extra on there, and it's a documentary called, I think it's like, Checks, Lies and Videotape. And it's about what Doctor Who fans used to have to do to get hold of episodes that the BBC hadn't released and weren't repeating. on video, and money used to change hands and used to be sent from Australia who were repeating them. So there was a great big sort of underworld sort of contraband thing going on with these Doctor Who videos. And I was involved in that, not in the way that I used to pay for them, but I did get these really ropey copies of Doctor Who stories that I otherwise would not be able to see. Do you remember those days?
I don't know. I've first time I've heard of anything like that. But what I was thinking, though, it's funny, isn't it, in the way that things have changed since the classic series was on, if you like, to the way that the new series was on, because, you know, mentioning the getting the copy of Rose before it was actually broadcast. Mm. I remember the end of the first series. I don't think I've ever spent so much time on Doctor Who message boards. Yeah. With reading everyone's theories about what was going to happen in the final episode of series one, and how Eccleston was going to regenerate and everything like that, and it's loads of message boards just to do with the parting of the ways, and just busy the whole time. They were always having things added to them with people thinking, and of course, you know, back in the day, the only way you could have ever discussed anything about Doctor Who with anyone was probably in the playground with your school friends.
Which is obviously still happens in some circles. This is why Alicia got involved in the podcast in the first place, because, and this was 3 years ago when we did the original one, the kids were all mad about it, and there was lots of rumours going on, and quite strangely, the rumours that I reported on the old podcast turned out to be true. And to be fair to Alicia, this is the first time she's actually been properly wrong in one of her predictions. I quite like it when she predicts something, because it does imply that she's actually interested.
Some news for you. You may have seen this about Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah,
he was talking back end of last week, saying how much he likes the new series. But also, because obviously we've got the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who coming up in a couple of years, isn't it? 2013?
November, to be precise.
He's saying that he'd like to see an 11 Doctor story, if indeed there is those still 11 at that time. You know, might have moved on to 12, who knows. He's saying he'd love to get involved in that, and that they could use all 11 Doctors, because obviously the way technology's moved on these days, they'd have bits of William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton and John Pertwee that they could digitally enhance to put into a new story, which I think would be really quite interesting. There are a lot of people, though, who don't want to see these cross-Doctor stories, because you're not meant to be able to meet yourself and all that kind of stuff. But the way they get around that is you're not allowed to meet yourself if you look the same. If you look different, as in, you know, a Doctor Who story, then you apparently can meet yourself, which is how they get around it. But, yeah, he was saying he'd love to be involved in something like that, which I think could be quite an interesting thing to do. I don't think they'll do that.
I think it might happen, because of all the times that they could do it, or it's appropriate to do it, is a 40th or 50th anniversary, 40th anniversary, whatever. And I think that's what the fans are probably expecting. I think at one time that they might pander to the fans would be on that big anniversary special.
I think that although there have been a few tenuous links to the classic series from the new one, they haven't kind of jumped in feet first into the, let's make references to it and all that kind of stuff. So I think they'd have reservations about doing it. And obviously it depends more on, well, it depends how much they want to get everyone else involved. I mean, it could be, a Matt Smith story with little cameos of the other 10 Doctors. Like they did at the beginning of his first episode of the fifth series.
Yeah.
Where they had that bit where he was talking to the alien up on the roof, where he was saying, "I'm the Doctor," you know, that one. And they had a flash of all the previous Doctors. Now, I don't think they'll do it much more than that. Mm. I don't think you'd have, you know, Peter Davidson and Colin Baker actually in the story talking, you know, having proper parts in it. I don't think that would happen. I think it would be just a glimpse of the old Doctors
I think they might do. I think it's they've already sown the seeds of a few things. One is that everybody wants to see Paul McGann playing the Doctor on screen again, and Paul McGann's costume's changed recently. He's got a sonic screwdriver as well. Two, they've got the Tennant human Doctor in the alternative universe. Now, what if that? What if he's being still? He's the Doctor, just a human Doctor. He's able to get himself into our universe again and go into a chameleon arch and turn himself back into a Time Lord again. So they've got that sort of thing to play around with. Sylvester McCoy still looks more or less like he did when he left the part, when he regenerated into the
ape. He does, yeah.
So they could use perhaps the Doctors that still... And it doesn't matter about McGann because nobody knows how long he was a Doctor for because he's still playing the part in the audios. So they've got that. Of course, the only thing they might have trouble with is getting Eccleston back to play the Doctor for a cameo, which would be great.
Well, of course, recently he came out and said how he hated it. So...
Tom Baker did that, though, in not long after he'd left the role. He didn't want anything to do with it, but eventually he came back.
That's true. I mean, obviously, time heals everything, but whether you'd be able to convince... Because it obviously would depend on all... Well, one, two, how many still alive. Seven still alive.
I think you can probably scratch off Tom. I don't think it would be right for him to do it because he doesn't look anything like he did when he was a Doctor. His voice is great, they can use him in the audios. Davison's starting to push it, but he's already appeared in a cameo role. Maybe they would use him, they could. Poor old Callum Baker, great voice, doesn't look like the Doctor anymore. But like I say, from the seventh onwards, they could actually do an updated version of the Five Doctors, maybe called The Last Five Doctors, I don't know, and do it that way and just forget about the earlier ones. Don't need to have all 11.
I don't think you could do that. I think if you're going to do a multi-Doctor story for, you know, a 50th anniversary celebration, it'd be a bit of a cop-out just to get five of them. I think
well,
if
they had the
do
two Doctors,
like
haven't
that,
they? I mean, they did...
and they had the three
well,
Doctors.
Well, there was only three of them at that stage. Well, when they did the two Doctors, there were six of them.
Wasn't it in the three Doctors, well, that they had to use clips of Hartnell sitting down that they hadn't used previously before because he was too ill to record?
No, I think they did. They did actually film those parts of him sitting down, but the bit of him, his main part, he was actually sat down. No, it was a film of him walking through an orchard or something like that, wasn't there? They used black and white footage of that, which they did film specially, and the rest of it was just him sat down in some sort of thing.
Which I thought was all old footage.
No, apparently not. I don't think it was, because he looked as he does in that episode where when he was younger, he didn't look as much like William Hartnell for me in the Three Doctors, whereas because he was obviously getting on in his you know what I mean, it's the shape of his jaw and everything. He just didn't look like himself, and that he looked like that in those little clips, the black and white clips they inserted.
Of course, in the Five Doctors, Hartnell had passed away by that point, and so you had Richard Herndl. Who played his part in the...
The funny thing is, right, I got thinking about this the other day, about the First Doctor. If they use their brains, they don't necessarily... They could bring the First Doctor back, but they don't have to have Hartnell playing it. They could have... Because he wasn't born old, was he? They could have a younger version of the First Doctor and bring him back
that
way.
Then you could do that for all of them, couldn't you? Because, as you just mentioned, Tom Baker, you know, great Doctor, but doesn't look as... thing like he did 30 years ago.
Well, no, but when he became the Doctor, he looked like Tom Baker. What I'm saying is, with the Hartnell Doctor, we only picked up the story from when he was quite old, and obviously he had a youth, and they could cast somebody as a younger version of the Hartnell Doctor, and they could bring him back that way, perhaps. It's only a thought. I mean, they couldn't do that with any of the other ones, because they basically have got that face, and they've had that face for, in Troughton's case, 3 years. But Hartnell, it was his older face that it's the only one we've seen, so...
Just a point on that. Mm-hmm. Why is it that the first incarnation of the Doctor, or the first generation of the Doctor, got to grow old?
Yeah.
You know, to a massive age, and then the next 10 incarnations have all only lived for 3 years.
Barring accidents, isn't it, that they can live forever, so the accidents are what culminates in them regenerating. I mean, all the times he's regenerated since the Hartnell thing. I would imagine on Gallifrey, they all live really long times before they regenerate, because they don't get involved in the dangerous adventures the Doctor does.
So, in that case, are you saying that as you get older, you get more clumsy?
Quite possibly.
because, you know, if they don't last as long in their older age, then, yeah, I mean, Eccleston on screen only lasts a year. I mean, I think that's always something that, I think, going back to what Doctor Who fans would like to see, something that a lot of people would like to see, is, you know, what, the whole Eccleston, you know, pre-Rose adventures.
Yes.
Something along the lines of that. And also,
well, the Time War, isn't it? Everybody just wants to see an episode devoted to the Time Law. A Time War, I should say.
Well, that would also be massively interesting. And there was rumours that they were going to do that at the end of the fourth series. But obviously that never really transpired to be the whole thing. Obviously they touched on the Time War.
Yeah.
But never really covered it in the details. I think a lot of people would really like to see it. But, you know, that therefore leaves it all up to people's imagination, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously they've touched on it in audiobooks, haven't
they? Yeah, they have.
So, but, you know, again, they always say, oh, well, audiobooks and the TV series, they're not linked, are they? They make very clear.
No, I think there are certain guidelines that Big Finish are sort of set to, which Nicholas Briggs, we've had on the show a few episodes ago, he talked about they have got, you know, strict guidelines that they're not allowed to talk about certain things that are connected with the current series.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe something, you know, maybe a spin-off that if you get Paul McGann back. See, even though what happened, if they get someone, if they get a couple of the old ones to come back and do a 50th anniversary episode or...
Well, if they're going to get any of them back, say they only bring one back, I think it's got to be McGann because we missed out so much. I mean, the episode itself wasn't absolutely brilliant, but I thought he was.
Did you not like the film?
Didn't like it. I liked certain aspects of it, but I didn't like things that were brought into it, like the half-human nonsense and things like that.
No, obviously, you know, things like that, they tried to change too much to suit the American audience.
Which annoyed the American fans more than it did us, to be funny.
Yeah.
Which is quite ironic.
I thought the storyline and the actual... It looked good.
Yeah.
You know, I think it looked so good, though, because obviously it'd been since 1989 since we'd had an episode, and then, you know, to wait 7 years and then the film comes out and things had moved on, and you know, it looked good as an actual film, if you like, because it was an hour and a half, wasn't it? So you know, it was a proper feature film, if you like. So it looked good, the storyline was good, but as in terms of the Doctor Who terminology, they did try and change a little bit too much I think. But as a film, I think it's quite watchable, and you know, McGann's a good Doctor. It would be good to see him, you know, bring that role out a little bit more. But
yeah, that's what I'd like to see most, I think.
You know, it's been 14 years, isn't it, now? So I think I think he's probably got over, you know, moved on from it, and I don't think he'd be able to get McGann back.
I think he'd do it, because obviously he's doing the Big Finishes at the moment. So, I mean, he's done several series of Big Finish stories. I think if asked, I think he probably would do it. I mean, I can't speak for him personally, but I just get that feeling.
I was going to say, have you been on Twitter to him, have you? Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should start a campaign to see if he'd do it, and then after...
He's been asked at a convention, and he just said something on the lines that he hasn't been asked, which makes me think that if he was asked, he'd certainly consider it. But so moving on, I've got some news pages open here, and it's got a preview of the Mazes in Time game. I'm not quite sure what particular platform that's on. Oh, no, it says iPhone, iPod Touch. It's like, how to really sort of describe it, really. It looks pretty, it's not like the 3D sort of dynamic graphics you get in the Wii game, but it's certainly got what looks like a 3D environment, a bit like the, do you remember the old Resident Evil games?
That
sort of environment, and the characters look a bit that sort of... Although the squares on the floor don't look very TARDIS-y. They've got like a screen capture of it, and it's the Doctor in the control room of the TARDIS, or console room, or whatever, with a couple of other characters.
I think we'll call it the console room, please.
Sorry. I got tainted by some American pronunciations there.
Ban you from your own podcast saying things like that.
Sorry.
The driving room.
All right, don't get so narcs. It's only one word.
What, does he fly the TARDIS with a steering wheel, does he?
Console room.
Left of it. Quick, turn the wheel.
But anyway, yeah, so that looks quite good, and that's going to be available on the iPhone, and I'll be getting that as soon as it is. It says, defending Bannerman Road, is a new online comic from the BBC based on the television series, Sarah Jane Adventures. It forms part of the Sarah Jane Academy, an online game that will train you in all aspects of alien encounters. That's going to be useful in the real world, isn't it? You can be the smartest and quickest and the best. The comic is the second part in the training program and features a 34-page animated story with audio narration by Angie Mahindra, who plays Rani in the television series. And she's like playing a 15-year-old character at the age of 21. Yes, next is K9 launch date on 5. So the K9 series is going to be shown on Channel 5 from the 18th of December, 10 a.m. Curious, so I probably will record it and watch it and see what it's like, but I haven't had good reports on it. But John Leeson does actually do the voice for K9 in that series.
Right. I have some... Apparently...
Go on, then.
...going to guest DJ on Radio 1 on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes. And don't get cross, but I already reported that a couple of weeks ago.
I must have fallen asleep by that point, then.
Don't get cross. But people might not have been listening, so it's good to refresh people's knowledge of these things, like I keep forgetting to refresh people's knowledge of our sponsors, whoone.co.uk, I may well have a quick peek at their website, see what they've got on this week. Kang Zhang, Mike Collins' sixth Doctor print. Kang Zhang sci-fi comedy written by Welsh author Terry Cooper, first released as a novel, and since it's been turned into an audio adventure starring vocal talents of former Doctor Colin Baker. I don't know how interesting that really is. Obviously, the BBC has released several little tasters of the Christmas special, which apparently are available on their website. There's an adventure game coming on for Christmas Day called Shadows of the Vashta Narada.
Really?
That's the shadow monster, isn't it, from the library thing where we first saw River Song.
Of course, yeah.
That was an interesting tune you just played then. So kicking off immediately after the cliffhanger ending in episode 3. Oh, yeah, so I don't know about these things. It's obviously these episodes, the downloadable games will run on from each other. So that's apparently a continuation of the previous 3 episodes. And it's written by Phil Ford. So that's one for you to download.
I'll have a look Christmas. For that one, yes.
Forbidden Planet have released some exclusive figures. One of which I quite like to have, actually. It's the Perry and Syl set, which is about $24.99. And Perry, with these plastic figures, they've got bendy legs, so they don't make the legs look particularly realistic.
Yeah.
But on the Perry one, they've just given us straight legs, and they look like Perry's legs, and they're great. And they haven't done any harm to her cleavage either. And
is she in the pink bikini?
No, she's... Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? No, she's in that...
isn't it? We all have memories. And they're all the same as Perry.
And they keep flashing back, and they keep coming back to us. So anyway, yes, she's wearing her blue outfit from Vengeance on Varus, which is very figure-hugging in itself.
But she's a little plastic doll, so we won't get too excited.
Yes, but having a little plastic doll of us is better than having nothing at all, isn't it? I was going to get that, but financial constraints prevented me from pressing the buy button. But so if you want that, Forbidden Planet is your place for that, because it's an exclusive to them.
Forbidden Planet?
No, Forbidden Planet. That's the shop.
Yeah.
The online shop and high street shop. We've got one in Southampton, actually. I don't know if they'd actually have it in stock, but I'll be nipping over to Southampton on Friday when I take my child to a JLS concert. And we'll be nipping into Forbidden Planet, and maybe my wife will be feeling generous. And
I am now looking at the previously mentioned Perry action figure.
Yes.
With Syl.
Yeah. Well, Syl can go back in the box, but but he was great. But apparently, I heard rumour they're bringing... Well, Syl has certainly come back for some big finish stories, so maybe they'll be bringing him back, because he's a monster that hasn't faded in time. He's certainly... You know, it would be quite an impressive addition to the current series.
I did read just a couple of days ago that there are no old aliens, villains, baddies, whatever you want to call them, in Series 6.
Well, that rather sprays something on that bonfire, doesn't it, really?
Well, I'm not too sure if I like that idea, actually.
No?
Not of the doing whatever you want to do on your bonfire, but not bringing anything back. I mean, as much as we do like seeing new alien-type things, I think a Doctor Who series isn't going to be a Doctor Who series without at least one appearance of the Daleks or the Cybermen.
I was going to say, I bet they bring the Daleks back, because they made those blooming props that they're not going to use
anymore. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, what's the point in reinventing the Daleks for one episode in Series 5, only not to see them in Series 6? But it was Phil Collinson who said that, so...
Yeah.
You kind of think if he's... If he's saying that, then he's either trying to wind everyone. Can I just ask you, because I haven't heard your... I must have missed this bit if you talked about it as well before on a previous podcast. Is what do you reckon, what do you think about this splitting the next series into two? Because it's only going to happen next year. They're not going to do it the year after. They've said that it's just going to be a one...
Yeah, well, that's because they want to get the series running in the autumn, which suits me fine. I would be happier with it if I knew it wasn't a story arc situation, because a story arc over 7 episodes is going to be quite, you know, they're not going to be having any individual stories, and I do like the individual non-connected stories that don't have much to do with the story arc. But obviously when they've got 7 episodes, it's going to be basically all story arc stories and episodes. I mean, I'm still going to be happy with it because it's Doctor Who, but the fact that the first part is going to be the longer part, because the second part then will lead on to the Christmas special. So basically, you get in 2 series of 7 episodes, which
spread is over 9 months. It's not a case that, you know, people who like Doctor Who aren't going to watch it because of that reason. It's a bit of a cop out for me to try and get an extra cliffhanger in the middle of the series. The best non-end of series or end of series cliffhanger was obviously the one where David Tennant was regenerating only not to regenerate with
that was amazing.
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, it was such a big shock to everyone to see that David Tennant was regenerating when no one had heard he was leaving.
And the good thing about that, you were saying about the people going
message
on the fans and saying, maybe he's left. And nobody knew. And people were thinking, maybe this is his regeneration. And, oh, God, who are they going to bring in? And it would have been brilliant if that had actually been the case. You know, that they'd brought in an actor. He'd done the regeneration. He'd finished off that particular series as the new Doctor. But it still was the best cliffhanger
ever. And the thing is, you said no one knew what was going on there. That was a complete surprise to everybody. And that doesn't happen very often these days when it comes to something like Doctor Who, because there are so many people who want to know about it that, you know, you do get leaks coming out. And, you know, the fact that that one was so well kept, you know, you wonder if it could happen again. But it gets harder and harder to do anything. I mean, you're getting the results of the World Cup on Twitter 5 minutes before it's announced these days.
They are pretty good, though, aren't they? They're pretty good at keeping things,
they can, but it's getting a lot harder. But I suppose, you know, the only people who are going to know are the people on set, really, unless Matt Smith.
And they're sworn to secrecy.
Well, exactly, I think, you know, a lot of it, certainly when Russell T. Davis was in charge, he was always, you know, upset when things got leaked, because it spoiled the surprise. And, you know, there was nothing like the surprising end to the episode that we got, that we were just discussing. And things like that are fantastic. But whether we continue to be able to do that, I don't think it will be. So, anyway, there's my...
But, yeah, I must say, it's good in some ways, because I'd just like them to be more Doctor Who. I mean, the 13 episodes, I'd like to go back to the old days. I know it's technically the same amount of time, because obviously they're longer episodes, so it's technically still 26 episodes worth of, you know, like these classic sort of lengths. But I'd still like there to be more, to be honest with you. And I think in time, the post-production will take less time and be less expensive, and then maybe they will be able to expand and have more episodes in the series. But that's the only thing that I'd like to see, more of it.
Can I just correct myself?
Yes.
It was Piers Wenger who said that there's no new monsters coming up in the 6th series. I've just checked. It was with an interview with Crave Online.
Correction noted.
And he says, no, we're bigger fans of newer monsters. There are no new old monsters in the new series. So there we go.
Git. Right. that was Piers, not you, by the way. Yes, there's Exploring the Worlds of the 11th Doctor. There's a new book called The Pandora Opens, and I think it's got a subtitle, Exploring the Worlds of the 11th Doctor, by Frank Connan's original review on his cathode ray tube blog. So apparently that's going to be available soon. Mm-hmm. There's so many of these type of books out that sort of look at classic Who and modern Who. I know that Toby Haydock and Gareth Roberts, they've written a book together talking about each era of Doctor Who. I think they've just bought a new one out. They were on another podcast. He forgot to mention it on mine the other day, old Toby Haydock, because he was on his little soapbox talking about the BBC, and I forgot to mention the fact he had a new book coming out. So that sounds quite good. There's also the Christmas issue of the Radio Times, which I haven't seen yet. Stephen Moffat actually talks about the Christmas Carol, so I don't know how many spoilers will be in that.
Probably not many.
Hopefully not. And apparently, a real sonic screwdriver is one stage closer.
Really?
Yes. Well, you can get them with a Wii game, can't you? We have to pay another like £40 or something stupid to actually have these Wii remotes that look like sonic screwdrivers. But it says a move of a sonic screwdriver from science fiction into science fact moves a stage closer, as a Telegraph reports on engineers from the University of Bristol developing a device that is capable of moving and manipulating objects using only ultrasound and sound waves.
I've just seen a report on that myself. The sonic screwdriver, says Professor Drinkwater, who's apparently making it, or something.
Yeah.
The sonic screwdriver may be sometime in the making, but ultrasonic technology is already making its mark. So it may be possible to do it. But
yes.
The problem is, you know, if they do manage to make a sonic screwdriver, which design are you going to get? Matt Smith or David Tennant, you know, because obviously Matt Smith is a lot more flappy.
Well, I prefer David Tennant's one. In fact, you know, to be honest, I prefer Tom Baker's one, to be honest, because it looked more metal and heavy.
Yeah, the new ones look a bit, they look very high-tech, don't they? Whereas, obviously, you know, you take everything in the TARDIS not being high-tech, but being high-tech, if you see what I mean.
Well, yeah, I went to the Who shop in Blackpool a few years ago, and they had one of these replica Fourth Doctor sonic screwdrivers in the window, and it's £75.
Ooh!
Yeah. I didn't buy it, as you can probably imagine.
I'm not surprised.
But I'm sure somebody did, because it wasn't there when I went this year to have a look. And talking about expensive Doctor Who items, that helps us link very cleverly, so you're rubbing off on me, to the next item, which is what's hot on eBay.
Okay.
You're riveted, aren't you?
Well, I do, you know, occasionally check Doctor Who stuff on eBay just to see what's being sold.
Unfortunately, my computer is running so blimmin' slowly. I'm typing in the characters, and it's like, you type them in, it goes, holds up, and then it goes, da-da-da. So you come to the end of the line, and you find that you haven't actually typed in what you thought you typed in. So I'm just waiting very patiently for it to load up the page. I was expecting by now it would have actually loaded it up, because obviously I'm not
on Wi-Fi connection. Well, there's a Scarecrow figure, which is finishing in 4 minutes.
No, we don't do it like that, Ben. We don't do it like that.
There's a remote control K9.
Oh. What, a full-size one?
Looks pretty big.
Good Lord. Now, what we do is we list the highest first and see which is the highest item, listed item, and then we work down until we find the highest listed item that's actually got any bids next to it, and generally it's quite a long way down the list.
Okay, so we have a look at the price first, the highest price items first, do we?
Yes, but I've just done that on here and it's not done it.
Well,
yes, we list price highest first, and it's done $4.99. That can't possibly be
well,
right.
Well, I have on here.
Oh, go on.
Doctor Who rare. Why is it, by the way, on eBay, everything that isn't rare has the word rare in it? There are some really, really rare things that I own that I didn't know were rare, put it that way. Doctor Who rare, unique collection, videos and more. Let's have a look. Should we have another look at the look inside there, and see what actually comes with it.
Yeah, whilst you're looking inside, do you know why I haven't had anything listed other than $4.99? Because instead of typing Doctor Who, I typed in Docker.
Oh, that'll be why then. First of all, I've got to point out that this auction does not break any of eBay's rules and regulations.
That's a relief.
Of course it is. It's the first thing you think of when you look on eBay. you will get within this collection autographed books and autographed shop displays, for Doctor Who books autographed by John Pertwee, now sadly missed. Well, he wasn't before. He was sadly missed yesterday. Please click the link. I've got to click another link. Oh, it takes me to a whole other page. Which is really exciting.
Did you mention just a moment ago the rare, unique collection of videos and more?
Yes,
that's funny. Because funny you should say that. That has cropped up every week, and for the last couple of weeks hasn't been on there. And me and Alicia have been sort of saying, "What a waste of time!" They keep listing this thing at £5,000, and they haven't quite got the message that nobody wants to shell out £5,000 for that particular piece of tat.
That does make me laugh though, when people just keep on relisting the same item. I will sell it for £5,000. No, you won't.
Did you spot that actually that the highest listed figure on here that is £2,250 for the Ford Seaver Doctor Who Betty
yes,
car?
I did. I was about to put another bid in for it, but now you've mentioned it, I can't bother.
But the thing is, though, that's actually the first thing I've ever seen on there, and that price is actually worth the money.
Is it a proper? It's petrol, manual, full service history, MOT till March 2011.
Bargain.
11,272 miles.
11,000 for a car that's supposed to be Edwardian or whatever.
It's not the real one.
Oh my God.
It's just one that looks like Bessie.
Oh, well,
that really isn't Bessie.
Okay.
I shouldn't think.
No, probably not the actual one, but there were a few of those type of cars made, because at the Blackpool exhibition there was one inside the exhibition and one actually parked outside, so obviously there's a few of them around.
Mm. Its list price, as you say, is currently after eight bids at £2,250, but that doesn't meet the reserve price.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
Let's stick another 50p on, see if that does it.
Did you see number two in the stuff that's actually got bids against is at £400 for original BBC Doctor Who TARDIS console prop from 1974. It just looks like a panel of the TARDIS console. I don't think it's the actual whole thing.
Oh, there we go. Original BBC Doctor Who TARDIS console. Does that look real to you?
Well, to be honest with you, the scenery from the 70s didn't ever look real, did it?
I'm enlarging my photos. Feasibly it is. I mean,
you think someone's actually had a go at sort of recreating it?
Well, you can't, in that respect, you can't actually see why anyone would have gone to the effort of building something like this. If it's not... it's got the picture of where it was in the TARDIS as well.
There's some charity items further down the list. Russell T. Davis has drawn a picture for some charity thing, which is £263.77. And David Tennant's done a little squiggly drawing of something or other, which is also listed at several hundred pounds. So, but obviously that's for raising money for charity. So if you feel inclined to part with a considerable amount of money for a little bit of a scrawl. Although the Russell T. Davis one was quite a good little scribble, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's quite good, that Russell T. Davis one, actually. The David Tennant one is a cup of tea, which at the moment £261 plus £4 postage.
Mm. Yeah, I think if I was going to have a choice, I'd go for the Russell T. one, to be honest with you, because that's a picture you could probably frame and hang up somewhere.
If I was going to give money to charity, which I'm not, then only because I don't have any. Or I'd give everything I own to charity. Especially Russell T. Davis' charities. I'd go for his one. There's not a lot of other bids on...
Well, that's it. We normally cut off at the third place mark, and then Alicia, being a pain in the next year, said, can we go and see what's cheapest? Well, it's going to be something that's a penny, isn't it, Alicia?
Well, of course it is. I haven't got any bids on yet.
But because she went on, I did actually once go back and have a look. So that rather covers the eBay feature of the show.
I rather enjoyed that.
I have to say, Ben, that was far more dynamic than it normally is. So that's really good. What we would normally do at this stage is cover Series 8 of Classic Who, but the reason why we're doing that is to try and jog Alicia's memory, and she has to be here for that, so we're going to move on. We're going to leave Series 8 review until next week when she's her band's over and done with, and she's probably serving a detention.
When her red card has been lifted.
Yes. Well, she will be needed for that. Sorry for listeners who are looking forward to our Series 8 look back.
I was looking forward to the Series 8 look back.
Took long enough to get to the Series 7, because we covered all the Sarah Jane adventures over the last few weeks, and then of course we'll have another skip a week when the Christmas special is on, so we'll be talking about that. So it's probably time for me to get on to the feedback addresses. before I ask the question I meant to ask at the beginning of the show. yes.
new that email. At the end of the show, shall we?
Yes, I know. The new email address is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. We have the old email address, which is the one that's printed on our logo, which is 20megfeedback@hotmail.co.uk. That's the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback, at hotmail.co.uk. You've got the 20megabyte.2podcast.podbean.com. There's a comment facility on our webpage there. Of course, Facebook, we've got the 20megabyte.2podcast as a friend on Facebook, and you can, some people have actually added me personally there. You can, and there's also the Facebook group, 20MB.2 Podcast. And how many times can I say 20MB.2 Podcast in the show?
Well, in that respect, none, because you said
we're the only people that actually call it the 20MB.2 Podcast. Most people just call it the 20MB Podcast, but
it could be about anything.
Anyway. What, if it's a 20MB podcast, it could be, I suppose.
Could
yes.
be about...
Or maybe more similar, should be Doctor Who, colon, the 20MB podcast.
A 20MB podcast about Doctor Who's colon.
I wish I hadn't said that.
That would be something that would be interesting to do. Maybe we should do that next time Alicia's been banned. We could talk about all 11 Doctors' colons.
Well, we've just come out of I'm a Celebrity and we're enough of bloody kangaroo colons than that. Bloody hell. Anyway, yes, Doctor Who Podcast Alliance, so obviously listed on there. So if you're, and that's a great place if you're interested in all Doctor Who casts that are related to Doctor Who, obviously. Brilliant facility that is. So that's www.doctorwhopodcastalliance.org. iTunes, there's a facility on our iTunes feed where you can actually rate the show, and during that rating process you can actually write something about. We've had 3 people do that so far, so if you'd like to contribute to that, that'd be nice. And as I said before, twitter.com/Adam20MB podcast. So that's the thing. And now I can finally get, before I'm running out of battery time on this blimmin' thing, so you've got 7 minutes left, your favourite Doctor Who story?
Classic or new series?
You can go for both if you like.
Can I have one of each, can I? Okay. We'll start with classic series, I think. It's a close call for me between Genesis of the Daleks.
Yes.
Which I think is pretty much genius. And probably Legopolis. Just the end of Tom Baker, isn't it? It's the end of the era. And it's just drama. And the way it all ends with his regeneration, obviously, that's fantastic. Yeah. Obviously, in the Genesis of the Daleks. Another Tom Baker story. Do I have the right?
Need
I say more?
It's iconic.
It is. It's a fantastic one. So I think for my favourite old school episodes, I'd have to go for one of those two. But I do like the Keeper of Traken, and Castrovalva as well. I think the whole those 3 episodes, that 3 spanning the 2 series.
Well, Legopolis holds a special place in my heart because it's the one that turned me into a Doctor Who fan rather than somebody who just watched it. And of course, Castrovalva's the next one after that.
I remember watching Legopolis. There's not many things you remember when you're 9 or 10 or when was that? Not even that. That would have been 81, wouldn't it? So I'd have been.
You were 81. Bloody hell, you're looking good for
that. No, that was 1981. I'd have been 6, and I remember sitting down and watching it on telly, and that's the same as you, really. I think that's the kind of one that got me thinking, I like Doctor Who, must watch more of this. And then from that, I remembered watching the entire next series of Peter Davison stuff. The new series, trickier, because there's been so many good ones. The Parting of the Ways, as we mentioned a little bit earlier in the podcast, is obviously a fantastic episode from series 1. Blink from series, was that 2 or 3? Blink, it's 3, wasn't it?
3.
That I thought that was a very good one. Doctor Love episode, as they call them. The end of series 3 was obviously brilliant as well. The sound of drums was when it comes to two-parters, the sound of drums was better than The Last of the Time Lords, I thought. Or I don't know, maybe you could have a look at the last David Tennant adventure.
Oh yes,
the double Christmas one from last year. I thought that was particularly special as well.
Oh, I did. A lot of people slate it, but I must admit it was fantastic. Very moving, and it built up to it. And I'm going to talk about the regeneration, the length that took on a future episode, because I'm going to devote a whole episode to regenerations and stuff, because I really have got quite a lot to say about that particular thing.
But again, I think, you know, with all of the Doctor Who seasons, double finales, the first one's always the better episode.
Yeah.
The End of Time Part 1 was better than The End of Time Part 2, even though, you know, in The End of Time Part 2, at the beginning of it, you had the returning Time Lords and all of that stuff going on, and you know, it was a good episode. But I think, yeah, the first part of the two parties is always the best, and I think if you ever look through the new series, they'll be consistently the same.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, Ben, I have to say thank you so much for joining, and hopefully you'll come back and maybe make it a regular feature, and hopefully next week, if you're available, I'll be at home and able to record it in a more comfortable environment than being currently sat in my car.
Well, I've heard it's a very nice car. So,
AKA the CARDIS. So, so we'll have Alicia back, but I'll have to record Alicia's bit separately because she's only available at certain times.
And she's certainly not
available on Mondays unless it's school holidays. So.
And she's a potty mouthed youngster as well, so you do a good job at editing out all the swear words. Worse than Saul Ryder, apparently.
Yes, and she objects to other people being involved in the podcast. So.
Well, yeah, luckily I haven't seen her for a while, but, you know, tell her not to stamp on your toes next time I see her for doing it. But, yeah, I'm only covering for her. I understand that.
No, you're not only covering. I'm hoping to bring you on as a regular contributor.
Well, you know, I'd be more than willing to come back on.
Anybody who wants Ben on the show, write in.
Yes, on the back of a cheque.
Yeah.
Or a £20 note, whatever you like.
Indeed.
Cash, checks, postal orders.
But don't forget to send me some money first. Anyway, thank you so much.
Adam,
there's more we could have talked
about. We could have talked
for
hours.
I'm recording. I know, the trouble is that my camcorder battery is now flashing empty, so, and that's what I'm recording my audio on. So this is where the technology has sort of rather defeated us. So hopefully you will listen to this one anyway.
I'll listen to this one beginning to end, even if I fall asleep and I'll rewind it and listen. I'll wake myself up and listen to it all over again.
Good, that's what I see. you can get on with your Monday afternoon. I'm going to eat my sandwich and eat my twirl bar, go to the bank, pick up the dogs, go home, and, hopefully have a bit of time to edit my part of the podcast.
I've got to take a CD to my dad's. The life, eh? The life. And I think I might go and see my little Mia this afternoon around at her mum's house.
What a good idea.
Oh, that was great fun.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem, and, yes. I'll hopefully pop by again soon.
That'll be good, thank you.
Bye, see
you,
bye. Mate. Bye, mate.
Bye.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement.